I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We welcome in our Richmond audience. First time today, AM 910, FM 105.1. Everyone else has been listening for the last hour on the flagship, 106.7 all over the DMV. Wherever you're at, coast to coast, check us out on the Odyssey app. You can do it on your way home today. You got to run into the store, pause, rewind the show, listen to the program on Odyssey. We're going to get to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com to talk about the two newest Wizards in just a second. But we'd be remiss if we didn't mention back in here that breaking news from Craig Heist. Kevin Durant is reportedly seeking a trade. His agent and the Brooklyn Nets are working on getting him a deal to get out of Brooklyn. This is after Kyrie Irving said he was staying put.
Exactly. So that's the correlation, right? You could tell pretty quickly what Kevin Durant thinks of playing with Kyrie Irving for a second longer.
I'm good on Kevin Durant, too, though, almost. And I know locally we're not supposed to say that because he's a D.C. guy, and I've always rooted for him being from PG County, but I want to get into Durant with you coming up in about 10 or so minutes, but let's check in right now with Mike Singer of the Denver Post, who covers the Nuggets because the Wizards have been making moves. Tommy Shepard didn't hesitate in trying to go get a point guard. League year officially starts with free agency at 6 p.m., 3 hours from right now. Mike, you're on in D.C. We're Grant and Danny. How are you?
I'm excellent. Appreciate you guys having me on. And let's just call a spade a spade. The Monte Morris, Will Barton trade has to trump the KD news, does it not?
Yes, it does.
Here,
certainly
luckily
here
for
in
us,
the nation's
yes.
capital, it does. All right, yes. You tell us about Morris and Barton. These two players, the last couple seasons they've had in Denver and what Washington would be getting.
Everyone in D.C. is going to love Monte Morris. He's a 27-year-old, shoots close to 40% from three, steady game manager. Proved last season that he was a starting caliber point guard in the NBA. Took over as Jamal Murray was rehabbing his ACL. Penchant for big shots, shows up in the playoffs. Like, there's a reason that the Washington Wizards and probably Wes Unseld Jr. had underlined and highlighted Monte Morris as a potential target in trade talks. Monte is a very steady player. Who I think everyone's going to grow to love. And he was beloved in Denver, loved in the locker room, and he's a really good player. My understanding is that in order to get Monte Morris, the Wizards had to accept Will Barton as well. So I think Monte was kind of the target, and I think Will Barton was the grease to that deal. I'm not sure how much interest there was league-wide in Will Barton, but the Nuggets wanted to get better defensively. So they obviously made the calculus, Will and Monte going out and adding a defender and a three-point shooter in KCP was a better, aggregate talent total for them in their championship pursuit. So I think that was kind of the mindset in yesterday's, we're going to call it blockbuster deal.
Absolutely.
We're just going to say it.
The way Blockbuster Video is still a big deal.
Exactly.
Mike, I've long coveted Will Barton, but has his skill set eroded a little bit? Because he was a guy that every time, you turned around, he was a sixth man, but every time he'd start, or it seemed like he was always helping out winning teams, making some shots, and being kind of versatile on offense. Has his game fallen off, or was my kind of assessment of him maybe not on point?
No, I mean, he's 31 years old. This year was actually one of the healthiest years he's had in recent seasons. So that's obviously, a benefit. He gets a little benefit of the doubt there. But Will needs the ball in his hands to be an asset. He's a shot creator. He's a playmaker. He can break down guys one-on-one. But when you look at the Nuggets, that's not who they need. When they have Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. returning, there's only one ball. You're not going to be able to split it, you know, in five different directions. So they don't need a guy like Will. The reason why KCP is such a good fit is because he's not really a creator, but he is a floor spacer. And we already talked about the defensive upgrade, him over Will Barton. So it's not that Will is necessarily a bad player, but he's 31. He has an injury history. And his skill set was frankly just not what the Nuggets needed. And I'm curious how he feels about, my assumption is that he's not going to be starting for the Washington Wizards. And I know that he cared deeply about starting in Denver. So that'll be an interesting dynamic for you guys to follow.
Mike Singer, Denver Post, covers the Nuggets. You mentioned wanting to get better on defense and you make this deal. Well, part of what the Wizards claim is going to be based on kind of what we've seen is that this deal makes them better defensively. I mean, do you buy that? What kind of defenders are these two guys?
Yeah, Monte can hold his own. He's not a big guy, but he can hold his own. He's a good positional defender. Not particularly long, not particularly athletic, but he's a smart, heady player. Will, I think you can fairly say, is not as consistently engaged defensively as the Nuggets needed him to be. Maybe something clicks, maybe something changes in D.C., but there were times where he just, you know, he would be a little bit lackadaisical, miss a defensive box out. Maybe I know that he always believed in himself defensively, but I just don't think that it always showed up on a nightly basis. So, yeah, I mean, everyone needs to sell their soap. Everyone got better defensively. So we kind of just have to accept it at face value. But, like, the Nuggets had KCP circled for a while. I mean, you know, I reported yesterday that they were engaged in trade talks at the trade deadline with Washington for KCP. So this was a guy who they had targeted and they believed could upgrade their perimeter defense. And like I said, it took Monte Morris to get that deal done and actually to move Will as well. So that's an indication of how the Nuggets felt about Will defensively, is that they felt they needed to include Monte Morris just to make something happen.
Morris was a backup, obviously, until last year. He's going to be the starting point guard. What's his upside?
I wouldn't say there's a ton more upside, but like I said, very, very steady, can play on the ball or off the ball, has consistently shot 38, 39, 40% the last 3 years from three. I think his upside is maybe he's going to average 13, 14 points a game and get you five, six assists a game and always a really good assist to turnover ratio. I mean, this was a second round pick made good. He was a 51st pick in the draft, played all 4 years at Iowa State, and is just a very steady player. And he benefited a ton from the Nuggets developmental system. And the way I wrote it and understood it yesterday, last year, if you think about it from this perspective, the Nuggets essentially showcased Monte Morris as a starting point guard last year. This season, it's very unclear if he would have stayed in Denver whether he would have been starting. So from Denver's perspective, they sold high. And what everyone else in the league saw is that he can be a starting caliber point guard. I mean, I also reported that between 15 and 20 teams, if not more, reached out to the Nuggets about with interest in Monte Morris. So this is a widely coveted guy across the league. And oh, by the way, on a bargain $9 million a year deal, like I said from the jump, Wizards fans are going to love this guy.
Mike Singer, Nuggets reporter, the Denver Post, breaking down the trade that sends Will Barton and Monte Morris to your Washington Wizards. So I wanted to ask you about this, kind of a piggybacking off what Grant was just asking you here, Mike. Having Nikola Jokic is a unique thing, right? That guy does everything. He's incredible. But 31% of possessions end with him doing something. His usage rate is towards the top of the league. And we've got something familiar here in Washington, whether it was Beal when he's healthy or Porzingis or otherwise, sort of down the stretch. How much more could Morris do if more of those possessions were his, right? Pass, score, assist. I mean, I know you sort of put a cap on the numbers there, but let's say he was on a terrible team and he was one of the better options. What could he do?
That's an interesting question. What does it look like without, you know, among the most dominant players in the NBA? Maybe he can get you to 15, 16 points a night, but he's really just a game manager. He is not I would not say he is a score-first guard. Like, Will Barton is a score-first guard. Bradley Beal is a score-first guard. Monte Morris just has a really instinctual feel for the game and can set guys up as a table setter. I mean, it speaks volumes that that Wes Unseld Jr., former Nuggets assistant coach, wanted Monte Morris on this team. Everybody, I mean, the lengths that he grew from a G League guy, second round pick, G League guy, backup, then holding down the reins as a starting point guard this year. There's been incremental growth every single year. He's 27 years old. I don't know how much better he's going to get as a breakdown guy. He's not particularly athletic. He's not a shifty guy, but he's just extremely solid. He won't make those mistakes. And obviously, you know, when you're talking about the rumored assets who the Wizards could be interested in, the Nuggets had two point guards that were somewhat believed to be available in Monte Morris and Bones Highland, who was a rookie last year. The fact that they chose Monte Morris over Bones Highland, who may have a higher ceiling, shows that there is a lot of belief in the security and the consistency of who Monte Morris is. So, I don't know how much better he's going to get, but he's already a very, very solid player, as indicated by the amount of teams that were interested in landing a guy like him.
Mike Singer of the Denver Post. All right, before we let you go, I want to get a couple thoughts on some bigger NBA things. You cover the sport for the Post out there. You heard the breaking news when you were joining us. Kevin Durant's asking out of Brooklyn. And the thought was, well, if Kyrie leaves, then he's going to try to leave. And then we heard, well, Kyrie's staying put, so it's still him and Kevin Durant. Well, apparently Durant still wants out. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not shocked. Kyrie has left a burning trail everywhere he's gone, and that obviously frustrated everybody in Boston and Cleveland and evidently now in Brooklyn. So Brooklyn is never going to get to realize all that talent that they had accrued. And, man, wherever he goes, be it – I've seen Phoenix rumored. I've seen Miami rumored. There may be – I don't know that it's a new super team, but there could very well be a new title favorite by the end of today. So a team that comes out of the woodwork that nobody had really thought about. Everyone thought Phoenix was done after they got cooked in Game 7 against Dallas. Well, they land Kevin Durant. You can hit refresh on their lifeline. Miami obviously is a scary landing spot too. So I'm sure everyone around the NBA is holding their breath right now wondering, this is a seismic landscape shift. It's almost like that free agent night when Paul George and Kawhi Leonard went to the Clippers. Where is this going to go, and how is this going to change the trajectory of the league?
Mike, this is a lot of fun, man. Really appreciate you joining us, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a good one.
Great to get insight on those new Wizards from Mike Singer, who covered them out in Denver. If Durant jumps to Phoenix, if he gets traded, say, to the Suns, first of all, they are probably the favorite at that point to win the championship.
They'd have to be.
Or if he goes to Miami, I would say they'd be the favorite to come out of the East at the least. That would do nothing, though, to help his legacy, if he cares about that, or his argument with guys like Charles Barkley about his career. Maybe he doesn't care at all, and he probably shouldn't. He's got two rings. He was the finals MVP in those two championships. He was the best player on those two teams, but he had to go latch on with the Warriors to scale the mountain, and since then has kind of had to answer questions about it. He would be basically doing the exact same thing. Does he care about that? I would say no.
He may not now.
But wouldn't that be, to me, I would be, it sounds like it's going to happen, so surprise is not the right word. I would advise him not to do that. Now, maybe he says, if I go win a third or a fourth ring, I don't care what Charles Barkley says. I don't care what some columnist says. I don't care what Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless are going to scream about. I care about rings, and he can go. He got two with Steph Curry helping him in Golden State. He can go get two with Devin Booker in Phoenix or Jimmy Butler in Miami.
Yeah, he'll be 34, having already recovered from an Achilles tear. So the slings and arrows of NBA talking heads may matter a little bit less to him. Now, I don't know his mind. I don't know the person at all. I've never met him, but you see how thin-skinned he is at times, right? Tweeting people back and going back and forth with folks and openly sniping and responding to some of these things. So I doubt his skin has gotten thicker in that regard. But if I'm him, I'm looking around. I'm going, again, I'm 34, and I've already had my Achilles destroyed one time. He right now is as successful as anybody's ever been coming back from that injury.
His, Agreed. Put a period on the end of that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
His days, though, as the best player on a team that can win the finals, I believe, are behind him. Is that an overreaction? I mean, he got really shut down in the playoffs at times. It was ugly. I believe his days as the alpha, the Batman, the A-list performer on a title team. Now, maybe if it's a big three or something and you could debate that he's the number one guy.
Right. I was going to say, possible. There is a situation where he's the best, but it's only by a fraction.
Like, I think he's going to Phoenix and like it's Booker's team and Durant helps him get over the top. He goes to Miami, whether it's Butler or whoever it would be, like Durant helps you get over the top. But my point is,
yeah.
Those Warriors teams, he was the best player on those Warriors teams. You can pretty easily make that case.
Yes.
Some Steph people would say otherwise.
No, but those years he was.
Those days are behind him, though. And it's not a knock. Is he really 34?
Yeah, he'll be 34 this year.
I would say
he's 32.
That's old basketball-wise.
He'll be in the top 15 in scoring this year, if he's healthy. He's already got his place secured, right? He's a Hall of Famer. He's in, it just depends on what circle you want to put him in, right? Right now, he's probably not top 10. He's not top 15. Is he top 27? I mean, all those kind of things start to get washed away, right? When you go, well, how many titles does this guy have? No one wants to look at the context of whose titles they really may have been, right? In 20 years, where we're debating some of the greatest to ever do it, I don't know how many people are going to go, yeah, but that was really Klay Thompson and Draymond Green's title just as much as it was. Well, remember this guy that's going to be in the top five or six in scoring, one of the great, most unique players that we've ever seen play this game. If he wins another ring or two, the manner in which he did, it's going to matter less and less as time goes, in my opinion. But maybe I'm alone in that.
My love for Durant over the years has waned a lot. It just has. When he went to the Warriors to win the ring, I didn't fault him. I didn't crush him.
Yeah, that didn't bother me.
But I didn't love it, right? It bothered me zero. But it was one of those things where my point was, okay. You took the easy way out. I'm not beating you up for it. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's what you did. Let's just call it what it is. To go to Brooklyn, I thought he's doing his own thing. He's creating his own big three, and he's going to go try to win in the second place. And I would have given him a lot of credit for that. He is jumping ship the first chance he gets. Since they traded Harden, having to deal with Kyrie, which I have to imagine, he seems insufferable. But I have to imagine their relationship is mediocre. I don't know. Well, what do we know about their relationship? Anything?
Well,
I know that Kyrie said yesterday he's coming back, and today Durant said I'm
leaving. Irving and Durant, Durant's had enough. I have a lot less sympathy when the thing that you engineered blows up in your face, right? Like, so for me, I haven't faulted. I mean, you know, the stuff that annoys me about Durant is the little Twitter games and sniping back at analysts and whatever else. That kind of stuff, I'm always kind of like, okay, what's the upside there? Congrats. You won a Twitter argument. You can dunk on somebody in that way. His game speaks for itself. He's incredible. The thing that has always bugged me, or that doesn't bother me, is I'm trying to win championships. This is what we should want from our players. Our players should want to win more than they should want maybe the dollar more or whatever. He's trying to, you know, win as many games as possible. But when you do this kind of engineering thing that's really, to me, poison the well and the waters of the league, which is a player signs a contract for 4 years, 3 months into it, he's already engineering for his demand this trade or who's going to re-sign or who's opting out of this, that, and the other. And this is now a busier time of year for the NBA and its dramatics than actual basketball being played. For someone that loves basketball, I don't think that's a great development. Younger people like to follow dramatics, and that's fine. Good for you. This is just less fun for you know, I don't know, sports fans like myself. So I kind of have no sympathy for him. In this regard, you are the one who wanted to get into bed with James Harden and Kyrie Irving. And ta-da, it blew up in your face and stinks. He's looking around going, we're going to have to figure out if Ben Simmons is going to actually want to play at some point, and he doesn't have like a fragile ego or bruised confidence, and Kyrie Irving wants to be here for 20 games a year. I don't think I'm going to hitch my wagon to the star.
You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. Our buddy Gylo just did. He said, wow, this is a top five player in basketball. And you think he's going to be the second best player, watch. Well, what I said is he won't win a championship on a team where he's the best player from this point moving forward, in my opinion. I also take issue with the idea that he's top five anymore. I know that that's a, oh, no, you didn't thing in NBA circles, but he's not.
Here are guys
I would take over him right now, this second. Joel Embiid, one. I would take, let's see,
Jokic.
Giannis over him,
Giannis.
Two. I would take Jokic over him, three. I would take Curry over him, four. I would take LeBron's old butt over him, five. I would take Let's see, anybody else? John Morant over him, 6. I would take Luka over him, 7. Now we start getting into the conversation with like Durant, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, those types of players. I might take Tatum over him, 8. Booker over him, 9. I mean, that, like, to me, that's the conversation. He's somewhere between 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever that would be. But this, like, unquestioned top 5 player in the NBA.
I don't do the unquestioned part of it, but I think a very reasonable case could be made that he's in that 5. Here's what has to be considered, though, is availability and health. That's the thing, man. I mean, this is a guy that doesn't play every night anymore, right? And he's missed time with the Achilles injury. He's going to have rest and availability issues. His 50-plus games this past year, he was sensational. Just under 30 points a ball game. He's really, really good. Again, there's 30 games he wasn't available, and he was locked down in that Boston series in a way that I've never seen him.
We've got to move the game for Nats tickets. Does Grant know the band? To 425, because there's actually a potential major development here on Juan Soto's contract with the Nationals. We will explain next right here on The Fan, and I'm doing everything I can to keep from getting really excited. This is me being calm, but we might have a development we will discuss next on GND.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is not an intentional walk here. They're going to pitch to Soto with first base open. At least start to pitch to him. Heflin sets and deals. Swinging a high drive. Right field. Castellanos back. Forget about it. It is gone. Into the second deck. Number 14 for Soto makes it 4-0. And with first base open, they pitch to Soto and they pay the price.
Dave Jagler is heard right here on 106.7 The Fan. So you just heard from Craig Heist on this developing story. Hector Gomez, who covers MLB for multiple outlets, but is normally one of the big newsbreakers when it comes to players from the Dominican Republic, says talks are intensifying between the Nationals and Juan Soto regarding a second offer from the team to the star for a 13-year, $425 million extension, which will increase the initial $350 million offer by $75 million. So when I read this, this is kind of what I took away from it. I think the first part makes you think they're close to a deal or something. He says talks are intensifying. But then his explanation is essentially just they have upped their offer. To me, this doesn't seem like anything's imminent. It doesn't sound like it means that they're close to a deal. I think his report is just, the last time you guys heard was the Nationals offered Juan Soto $350 million. They're now up to $425 million. They've added $75 million to that offer. And he uses the word intensifying. That's fair. That's true. I mean, if they're still making offers and they've upped it almost $100 million, talks are intensifying. I guess my question would be, Are they close to a number that would mean something to Juan Soto? Would Juan Soto accept something before the market? Because I have been operating for a year now under the thought that he's not going to sign anything, that he's going to the market with Scott Boras to break every record. But 13 and 425, here's what you at least have to say is that they are getting closer to what Soto would have to give some real thought to, what Boras would have to do some real explaining to Soto. Hey, I don't want you to take this for this reason. And Juan might go, you work for me, not the other way around. $425 million is a lot of money, Scott.
Yes, it is. So the word intensifying is doing all the work here, right? In that sentence. Is it intensifying from an everyone at the negotiating table? Is we're exchanging figures and we're going, well, how about this in this year? How about this in that year? How about these bits of minutiae that go with the deal? How about this kind of language? Or how about, you know, this? That? Intensifying implies that everybody's involved and everybody's, you know, there's a back and forth. It's not a, the Nationals just said, here's $75 more million in an offer. And Boras does the Boras bit of not responding and saying nothing, and then eventually teams offer him more money. Intensifying in a one-way direction or intensifying everybody's at the table discussing things right now? That's the mystery. That's the most important word. That's what I need information on like 5 minutes ago. Like right now, this second, I need to know what the status is.
Mike Trout has the highest annual average value for a position player in money made at $36 million per year in an extension that he signed in March of 2019. Nobody has topped that. Now, on the position side, Scherzer has. He makes $43.3 million a year, which is hilarious, by the way. And I saw a video where he's making his rehab start with the Rumble Ponies. He's in the minor leagues. Remember, he said he didn't want to be
I don't want to be a Rumble Pony.
He wants to be a Met, not a Rumble Pony.
Yeah.
But he's buying the boys a really nice spread. Apparently, he's paying for a bunch of nice food and hooking them up after his start before he leaves tonight. But he makes $43 million a year. Trout makes $36 million. Next is Carlos Correa, who got that crazy big number from the Twins. Basically, I think there'll be an opt-out at the end of this year. But they wanted him to come in for a year. He makes $35.1 million. I bring this up to say, if I'm Juan Soto, I'm not signing for anything less than $36 million a year. Because I want to break Mike Trout's record. And yes, is $425 million or more would break the overall record for the biggest contract signed by a player. That's a good record to have. You can check that box.
That's something.
But you want to do a 13-year deal? Okay. I want at least $36.5 million. That's $475. So you've come up from $350 to $425, and that's great. But in order for me to really have to think long and hard, I got to break that AAV record on the position player side as well. And that would be up at 13 years and 475.
My goodness gracious. Again, I'm just trying to process all this here as we're going.
And for the record, again, I think he goes to the market. But think about this.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? We're talking about a guy who, even though his down season is better than 95% of people's good seasons, who has struggled this year. Maybe he doesn't like playing and having to worry about or thinking about his contracts. I mean, there are reasons to do this. Like, you grew up in the Dominican. You're being offered $425, $450 million. You can take care of yourself and your family and your family's family and your next generation. You set yourself up with a record amount of money that no athlete has ever made other than, like, Patrick Mahomes
and, you know,
in a contract.
And God forbid you slip on a banana peel tomorrow and you break your leg. I mean, it's one of those things that you... I always value, just in my own personal life, security over maybe a little bit more kind of holding out. It's not necessarily, I mean, these athletes are wired differently than most people are. Their whole life has been betting on themselves. When everybody was like, hey, you know, go to school and study geometry and make sure you do a good job in whatever class. Yeah, that's great. I'm going to be a pro athlete. I'm going to be a professional baseball player. And the odds are you won't be, talking about the 99.9% of the population. Well, this ain't 99.9. This is a differently wired human being. So I understand wanting to set all kinds of records, but I also understand the immediacy of, I know it's not exactly what Trout got, or you could maybe come in second in AAV, but I don't know, man. That's an awfully long time, and especially if they're going to buy it in arbitration year. That's something else that you could consider there as well in terms of getting a raise in the shorter term as part of this deal. So I don't know, man. At age 23 season, being able to get that amount of money locked in, which will be superseded as, you know, some of the other younger guys coming up go forward, but being one of the benchmark setting guys, that's tempting all of a sudden. That's now we're in serious offer territory to me.
The other part of this that makes this development shocking, in addition to me kind of always assuming they're never going to get that close, is the sale.
Yep.
And we've talked about this from the perspective of the team and the learners a few different times, but they are, we believe, actively trying to sell the team. To pay him now before you do that would seem like a mistake, I would think. And what I mean by that is, and maybe I'm just wrong, you could tell me if you think so, 800-636-1067, or you could tweet me at Grant H. Paulson. My thinking is, Danny, if I'm buying this team, mm-hmm. I want to decide what I do with Juan Soto.
Yep.
If I'm buying the Nationals, I want to be the one to give him his 15-year contract to be the hero of the fan base, or I want to be the one that decides I'm not going to pay him and pick the prospects that come back with my player development staff. Or I want to be the one, whatever happens, to call those shots. This is the best asset you got. The best thing that you've got going for you when you own the Washington Nationals is Juan Soto. Now, maybe because he's already signed, sealed, and delivered, the value of the team fortifies or goes up because you now have 13 years of this asset. I guess there's an argument to be made for that. But we've asked this question of Barry Sferluga, who's doing a lot of the reporting for the Post, on the Learner's projected potential sale. And we haven't really nailed down an answer. Barry, you, I, we're all kind of speculating and go back and forth on this. But what makes the team the most valuable? And I think, not to put words in your mouth, but we've kind of assumed you getting to call your shot with Soto or be the white knight that comes in here and signs him makes them that much more enticing. So if they were to get a deal done right before they sell, I would just be really, really surprised. That's a massive amount of money
To commit to
for someone to inherit.
Yes. Like
they may not want to do that. No one gives out these contracts. There's no precedent. No one's ever done it in baseball. So you're an owner and you're taking on this contract to pay a guy into his mid-30s who's been old enough to drink for 2 years. I know Juan Soto's the man, but like that, not every owner is going to love or want that either.
Yeah, and the variable, of course, is your new ownership person, group, or whatever. How are they treating this thing? If it's a business, you would go, I don't care how good this guy is. That's a depreciating asset. The instant I sign it, I'm going to end up, you know, with a long overlay, huge amount of money, et cetera, et cetera. If you're a baseball person who would like to win some games, you go, okay, I can live with that. That's my build around. That's my anchor. That's my core. Eventually, you know, maybe we could trade it with a few years left or whatever. But the most valuable Juan Soto could be to a potential owner, to me, is current contract Juan Soto. And what I mean is, he's on my team right now as potentially I'm good in a couple of seasons if the rebuild goes great. Or if it doesn't, he's my asset that will fetch me the most assets where I can build that really good team. If I'm a new owner, right now, this minute, Juan Soto's value is more to me as someone buying the team than if I owe him $36 million or whatever it is for the next 13 years. I don't know if that made any sense. That's the distinction I'm trying to offer. That's what would make most sense to me in terms of investment, in terms of somebody coming in and taking over. The timing of this is very surprising to me. Here is what I would speculate, and this is probably very reckless, but here I am anyway at 3:39 p.m. just sort of saying these things as I'm reacting the same time as you guys are. I would bet that this has been discussed with some of these future owners. These prospective group of, we've heard as many as 20 folks have submitted offers and things for approval and are in discussion. We only know who maybe a couple identities are at this point. I would wager this has been discussed with many of these prospective owners, and especially among the leaders of the would-be ownership groups. And I don't think you get to that point where you're opening up the books for a sale going, you know, by the way, we're going to tack on this decade and a half of expenditure at record cost. Enjoy the team you're about to buy. I would bet a discussion has happened, Grant.
Juan Soto reportedly having been offered $75 million more than we last heard by the Nationals. This is according to Hector Gomez. Upwards of $425 million as talks intensify. That is his word that he used. We'll get you whatever we can whenever we find out on Grant and Danny, but that is potentially exciting for Nats fans. Not a whole lot of excitement here lately, but That could be something swinging in the positive side of the pendulum. Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We are blitzing at 4 o'clock right here on The Fan. How about this day in sports so far? So NBA free agency at 6. We've got Kevin Durant saying he wants to be traded from the Brooklyn Nets. We got the news a few minutes ago that the Nationals have apparently upped their offer to Juan Soto by upwards of $75 million. And we are still reacting to, after the letter overnight Terry McLaurin put out, his new deal here in Washington, D.C. So much for the slow late June lull that we were anticipating around here. Let's go to Chris in Maryland on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Look, when it was first reported that the Mariners were looking for new investors or possibly selling, knew right then they're going to sell. They took a big hit through the pandemic because they're in the real estate business. But anyway, it was also reported that they were going to disclose financials. The Mets, Rams, Broncos, Indians, nobody does that. It's unusual. And my radar went up, and for the life of me, I can't figure out why. The only thing unusual about the Nationals is their shared TV contract. Help me out. God bless you. Bless your heart, Paolo Espino. Thanks.
That caught me.
Where did that come from at the end?
I think that's your line at some point.
Oh, bless your heart.
Where you're just like, like he's trying. You know, it's like my Southern family would say, oh, bless her heart, when like an idiot couldn't drive.
It's a great point. I mean, they're trying to sell, and they're trying to sell quickly.
Uh-huh.
I was told, I don't even remember who told me this, but if someone like in the media or who's following the proceedings pretty closely or has talked to people in the know, said it's going to take some time. Like, it could go into next season, which was disheartening for me. Like, kind of a backbreaker to hear, because I'm hoping, in my mind, well, maybe the new owners will be in place this offseason and they'll go on a spending spree, and that's just not a thing. But I am now completely captivated by this idea of, could they even, if they wanted to? Like, I didn't think if they wanted to and Soto wanted to, they'd be able to get a deal in place with Juan Soto with a new owner about to take over, because that would be up to them probably. In the same way, I'm not sure. Like right now, Mike Rizzo, expiring contract. Davey Martinez, expiring contract. It would make no sense for them to just start handing out 3- and 4-year deals to Davey or whoever else before a new owner takes over. And I kind of filed Soto into that same conversation. Marty is in Northern Virginia. Hello, Marty.
Hey, guys, I also had a question about the whole Masson dispute. I mean, it's possible we could have new owners in D.C. and Baltimore in as much as, like, 3 years, given the Angelos, that family beef they had. So do you think that this might be a step that the Nats are expecting some money to come in?
Well, if it's a great question. I think if they expected a big cash influx, that the Mariners might not be in this position where they were going to sell. I mean, maybe they would. It's easy for me to speculate without seeing any kind of books or, I don't know, being an accountant or the economics of it all. But I don't think they would be here, talking about the Mariners, if they were getting that influx of money that they should be getting in terms of a TV deal or otherwise. It just helps meet sort of your expenditures in any given month. I know they're worth an awful lot, but it's not as if you just have all those billions sitting there on a checking account. You can just pay all your employees and, you know, fix the ballpark up as needed and everything else. That's operating money for your business that they're not getting on a yearly basis. And I think ultimately they're in a cash crunch. And I think that's kind of what led to this entire sale thing. So I wouldn't have that confidence that they're going, oh, yeah, resolution's right around the corner, and that's why we're selling. I tend to think of it the opposite way.
All right, let's get to our double play. We do it every day at this time ahead of the top of the hour Beltway Blitz, which is 20 minutes away. Our double play is brought to you by GovSmart, intelligent IT solutions for government. Visit govsmart.com. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
GP, from where we're sitting right now this minute, where is Nationals Park? You know this. Take your time.
Nationals Park. We are in the Navy Yard. We'll start there.
Mm-hmm.
We are on South Capitol and Half Street.
Yep, you're crushing it.
Okay, so let's see here. Here we go. I'm going to say Nationals Park is north of us.
No, it's directly south of us. So okay. I want you to point south from here. Just sort of point. Now you're looking north. Point south. Right there.
Yep.
You just pointed at where a little place is going to go.
What little
close
place?
To you, close to me, close to little Darius, close to little Rai Rai, our boss Chris Kinard, anybody who wants to. is going to get to go to a little spot called Duke's Grocery. What do you know about it this fall? Duke's Grocery. I didn't know this. I found this out yesterday. Duke's Grocery makes a tasty burger. Their burgers are incredible. This restaurant is awesome. There's a location in DuPont, Foggy Bottom. They got a little counter spot in it's either Woodley Park or Friendship. I can't remember which, but I've been there. Duke's Grocery kicks ass, and it's coming right down the street. I mean, you're basically going to walk out of the metro, and if you inhale through your nose, you'll smell the Duke's Grocery smell, and it's right there. It's on our way. You can't miss it. This is going to be a place where this guy, Portnoy and myself, consumes burgers. Duke's Grocery. Thank you, Duke's Grocery. They're coming over here to our neighborhood, on our street, 20 feet away. It's his house, The Godfather.
I did. I saw the signs. I saw that it was coming.
And it opened up your eyes.
And I knew that a lot of people love Duke's Grocery. Like, I am aware of the information. However, it's one of these places that has a name that makes me not go there. I will go there if you're telling me they have good burgers. But if I just drove by and I saw Duke's Grocery, I would assume it's basically a little, like, you know, dry goods type store where you walk in and
you would never go to something like that.
Chips or anything like that, right? But no, but I mean, it's just if I need something from there, but I'm not just going to stop and shop, right? So I imagine a grocery, a place called a grocery is like, oh, let me go in and get a bag of chips. Let me go in and get some gum. Let me go in and get a soda, something like that.
I hear you.
That's not what I do.
So it's
if I'm going to shop, I'll go to Food Lion or whatever the night before, and I'm not walking around the Navy Yard for lunch going, oh, this place is a grocery store. Let me go eat lunch there.
You get very hung up on names. For example, you didn't go to the Cheesecake Factory for decades because you thought all they served was cheesecake, which, by the way, would be a great reason to go to a restaurant, but that's a digression.
Cheesecake Factory, I thought, was where, like, thousands of cheesecakes came off of an assembly line. Lines and went into boxes, and so I never went there. And my point is, if I go by and I see Duke's Grocery, I just assume it's a grocery store or, like, some type of small city-like grocery store where they just have a bunch of, like, candies.
I need you to get with your guy on this one. This is my thing. It's a cutesy little name. It's their style. It's the English gastropub. That's what it's named after. It's that sort of thing. It's that type of deal.
So name it Great Burger.
It's a cutesy little deal. It's called Duke's Grocery. They don't have to name anything different because they have multiple locations. They're doing really, really well. And they're opening one up down the street.
How about We Sell Burgers? Come in here, Grant.
Attention, Grant, with a neon sign.
Right.
Their burgers rule. I cannot wait. It's coming this fall.
Well, I'm happy for you, and I'm happy for me.
Happy for us.
Really, I'm happy more for me and Darris and Ryan, because we'll actually consume the burgers at the place.
That'll be
very exciting. Yeah, we'll be the ones that are doing the eating of the burgers, if you know what I mean. But congratulations to all involved.
You guys have pliers to get that knife out of my back? Can you guys
help
me?
Real quick. That's absolutely ludicrous. Anyone ever seen this show? Danny, I got a show for you. I've started watching. I've crushed. It's an incredible show. I just finished season one. Broadchurch is the name of the show.
How dare you?
Broadchurch. Great acting. This is David Tennant. This is Olivia Colman. This is Jodie Whittaker. It's a BBC program, British accents. Might have to rewind a little bit. Might have to use some subtitles.
Get your subbies on.
Because sometimes it's tough to exactly pick up everything they're doing in their heavy
accents. Especially because Tennant is just so Scottish, man.
So much so.
Did he yell at someone, "What is the point of you?" Did he yell in that season?
So you have seen this show.
Yes, and I tried to get you to watch it for years, and I gave up trying.
Well, it's really, really good.
I know!
You should check it out. So actually, knowing that you saw this, the whole reason of me bringing it up is I have a question.
Yeah.
So I finished season one last night.
Yep.
The whole show is about this disappearance of this child and trying to figure out who did it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted a whodunit. I got a whodunit.
You got yourself a whodunit, didn't you?
So the last episode, I now know who did it.
Yes.
I was very happy about it. Not happy that
it's absolutely horrifying and terrible, yes.
Exactly. But I was happy that, I don't want to...
Don't spoil it, please.
It's been years.
Everyone should watch the show. It's excellent.
They should. I was just happy that I didn't call it right away, I'll say. Having said that, I feel like I came, I saw, I conquered. Like, they wrapped the show up in season one, and season two now has to be a new thing that I don't necessarily have to opt into.
It doesn't, and they figured it out.
I loved the show. It was a 9 out of 10 that I would tell anyone to watch it, but the last episode of season one solved everything I needed it to solve. Why would I opt back in now?
Let the creative people create. I promise you they thought of it. I promise you they felt that same thing and went, what do we do? I guess we just make more episodes about the crime we've already solved, haven't we? No, they've got you. Let them take you on another journey.
Season two is good as season one.
No, season one's incredible.
I don't think I'm going to keep going.
Unbelievable.
I think I saw what I needed to see. It was unfathomably impressive.
This is impossible.
I think I'm on to the next. You got to give me a new show now. But Broadchurch, check it out sometime, Danny.
Oh, that show rules.
Really, really good.
Olivia Coleman, man.
Beltway Blitz at 4 and at 4:25, before we write letters to Terry McLaurin, we will play Do I Know the Band for tickets to the Nats game. They'll play some rock music from through the years. It's very popular. And then I'll have to determine if I know the band or not. That's how we play the game. You're listening to The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.